This podcast was first released on the Elite Podcast and is reproduced with permission. Thank you for listening to Disruptive Adventism. Welcome back to the Elite Podcast, where you live and learn and grow as a leader. This is season 4, and I am Jose Briones. I am filling in for Ryan Becker. We have Fernando Leite with us today. We're going to be talking about a story that he showcased and that he talked with different pastors here at EC3. And, you know, how to overcome certain challenges in churches and how to communicate with our superiors or the people that are above us in the chain of command. But before we get there, Fernando, I know a lot of people may not know you. So, Fernando, for the people that do not know you, please tell us a little bit more about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do? And is Cristiano Ronaldo your favorite player of soccer? Go ahead.
Oh, all right. That is a great question. Of course it is. You know, as a proud Portuguese, of course, we love Cristiano. I think he's a great flag for Portugal, you know, for so many lessons that you can learn from him because he loves what he does. And he's been showing that, you know, as a high professional. You know, my name is Fernando Leite. I'm from Portugal. Currently, I'm pastoring the Cody Road Seventh-day Adventist Church in Mobile, Alabama. I've been pastoring there for the last 2 years. Before I pastored in Texas, and now I pastor for the Gulf States Conference. I'm married. My wife is Renee, and I have a child with 6-year-old. He's first grade now. So it's been great. I love what I do, and I've been pastoring since 2011 full-time. You ask about the story as we share here in EC3. It's been a great joy to be here and learn about revitalization and evangelism. You know, when I go to my church, and particularly in Cody Road, it was a church that was very dysfunctional. And now you need to set the mission and put the people on track to do God's work. You know, I think there is a previous work before that. You know, number one is we need to make sure what is the vision and what is the goal that God has for that church particularly. You know, God is the one that knows the people, that knows everything, knows how to touch the people. So I always try to feel from God the directions, you know, but communicating with people, asking people also to be involved in all these the dynamics and this direction of the church. And with patience and time, you know, we cast vision together. You know, we decide together, say, where do we go from here? We want to grow. We want to have more members. We want the ministries of the church to flourish. We want the community to know us. It was not basically no presence in the community whatsoever. So it was great because all that brought us together to communication. Great joy also with the conference to involve them in this process, to know where we're going, where we get them with us accountable for the project, you know. And what I did when I came, I actually did a 5-year plan for our church. We cast a vision of 5 years, you know. In 5 years, we want to look like this, you know, a church plant, small groups involved. We want to double our membership, you know. So, and when we set that goals, then we start creating activities for it, you know, and people are really getting excited. Of course, when God shows up, the enemy also shows up. And that church was very dysfunctional. And they have a few leaders that were there before that were very uncomfortable with the new season, especially with me, to create some different directions and take leadership, not just in a few, but put leadership in different people and empower so many different people in different areas. It was a tough situation because, you know, I was personally attacked by these certain people and stuff like that. So
when it comes to this, I think that most of the leaders that are listening to the podcast, the people who listen to the podcast may find some common points with you, commonalities that are like, well, you know, I also feel pushback, you know, I also feel difficulties, you know. Walk me a little bit more through what happened. Like, you know, what were some of the things that were, when you got there, like, you know, there was this individuals that were pushing back. What was the pushback that occurred?
Well, you know, the church was basically in the hand of one person. You know, this person was leading everything, you know. All the others just follow. You know, they didn't agree, but they don't say anything. So they empower him by don't do anything. And you know, I arrive with a different vision. You know, to me, ministry belonged to all of us according to our gifts. So I just start sharing that, you know, this person will be in charge of this. This person will be in charge of that. So I, according to their gifts, I start placing responsibilities in their hands. So suddenly, these individuals start feeling that they were no longer in control. And that creates some was uncomfortable for them, you know, that they start creating their own groups, fighting back against me and saying the ideas that the pastor have will not succeed. He just want to do this, you know, he doesn't like the church, things like that, you know. Honestly, at this point of my ministry, this kind of experience doesn't scare me at all. You know, it's just an opportunity for me to embrace God and to find the solutions and the correct ways where the vision keep moving. You know, I didn't allow these people to stop the vision or, you know, so as a pastor, you cannot please everyone. You need to understand that, you know, if you try to please everyone, this is the key for failure. So, you know, I just keep moving. And if the people are not in agreement, you know, the boards take decisions and we abide by that decision. So in my talk with the people and sharing the vision to everybody, so we have the majority seeing the plans and the votes were cast in board. So even if the people were against, there was a vote by the board. So we have the majority supporting the plans. And it was just a matter to kind of monitorize the action of these individuals and understand who they talk, who they try to wash their brains. And what God impressed me to do at that time was, and this must be an help for somebody that is listening, because sometimes we don't know what to do. What I did, and I felt impressed by God, was to figure out to whom these people were talking. Hearing all these negative vibes, and most people not in the boards. So I start figuring out whom, and I start going and visit them and sharing the positive of the church, how the church were doing good. This way they have two reports, one negative, but one positive from the pastor. I never, unveiled the people or said these people are doing this background. No, I just speak positive. I just show a church that was excited, you know, and we have a long journey to go, but, you know, let's move. Let's encourage. And I care for them, you know. Suddenly they start realizing who was wrong, who was right. And that was the point where what happened was through time, 6-7 months in line, the people start realizing that these people were fake and they were wrong in their motives and they had nobody supporting them. So they just get quiet, resign everything and sit down in the pew quiet. And God has been just blessing the vision. We accomplished everything that we said. We are accomplishing it.
It is time for a break. Thanks for listening to this conversation. We'll be right back. When we have difficult churches or difficult spaces, even in the workforce, right, it is important to communicate with our leadership about what's going on. Sometimes we think that, you know, communication with leadership is like, well, you know, they may not understand or they do not know what's going on. Why is it so crucial to have good communication in all the channels, from the conference to the pastor and from the pastor to the board? And how can we strengthen those channels?
You know, that is so important because, you know, as pastors, we don't are alone. You know, we represent the conference as a pastor. You know, the conference pays us, right? But at the same time, we also represent the church. So we are kind of in between, you know. So what I do for me is I try to let my administrators know the goals that we are going in the church. So I give them reports, I give them the plans, the goals. You know, in Gulf States Conference, actually, we have a plan that the conference already initiated that every pastor needs to present a plan for the year with goals and objectives. And the conference has a program that goes through that and get us accountable to, which I love. It kind of match my way to work. But what I do personally is I know if I see something that could be very negative in the church, if I see smoke in some area, I immediately communicate with the ministerial or the president, whatever person I feel that is the person I need to be aware. And I just say, I feel that I'm going this direction. This may can happen. You know, just let you know if the people complain or something. So that way they know where they're going. If the people call the conference or something, they know. They know from the pastor already what is happening, you know, the directions. And through this process, they were so positive with me. They, you know, and I keep remembering this phrase or this sentence that came from them, especially the president, "We trust your lead. We trust your lead." And that was so encouraging. Because I felt that they were empowering me. I said, you know what? And empower is actually that, is allowing you to take decisions, you know? So it's been a great communication from both sides, you know? The church is thriving, the church is moving, the conference is happy, I am happy. And even, you know, the people that were not so happy with time, they are realizing that they cannot do anything because the plans that we lay, they are being accomplished.
That may not be the story for some individuals. And I assume that there were some instances in your career that communication may not have been the best. Walk me through maybe one of those instances where your your communication with the conference was not on top of your game, that made you learn that lesson that, hey, you know, I need to start communicating more?
Oh, yes, definitely. In Texas, I had an episode there that really opened my eyes to reality. You know, I was young. I've been pastor 2 years full-time before. Then I went to Andrews University for the master degree, and I just came. And we were just working this church, and one of my elders called the conference on me, saying things that were not completely true. And you know, the person at that case, you know, he just looked at me as a young pastor, and he didn't trust me. And that hurt me, because, you know, he didn't trust me. But I learned that, you know what, they didn't know anything about it. I probably should be the one to say, you know what, in all my elders, there is a guy here that I really don't trust, and I don't know what he can do. So it was discouraging for me, you know, to the point to say, wow, maybe this guy should have trust me and try work differently. But at the same time, like you mentioned, it was an opportunity for learning. And that took me to other steps to say, you know what, next time I know what to do. If there is smoke in my church in some area, I'm going to let somebody know. Because if somebody called them, at least they know from me. But it was discouraging. I cannot lie. I'll be honest. It was discouraging, you know. But, you know, we are all humans. You know, that person was new in this department too. He probably was learning how to do it. And, you know, we became good friends, you know. And then even, he doesn't even know about this, you know. But I learned. I grew up from it. And now, man, I'm very aware of everything. You know, I try to control everything and from my end, and have that communication working, flow both sides, you know. And it's been working. It's been working well. Yeah.
What are some of the steps that we can take, you know, practices that we can take into making those communication channels more fluid? What are some of the things that you have learned? A phone call, email, what is it that has helped you to actually bridge that gap between the conference, the church, and the pastor?
You know, the conference knows exactly the plans that I have for my district, for my church, you know. And each time that things happen, I just kind of dialogue. I report to a text message. You know, actually, I put all the administrators together in a text message, and I just report. Hey, this weekend we did this. Look, this is what happened. You know, this is what is happening. So I keep reporting, and they love it. We engage. You know, and we it looks like we are together. You know, so that is what been working for me. Currently, this is what I'm doing right now in my ministry. You know, I even ask the ministers, I'm bothering you guys by doing this. Say, no, keep doing it. We love it. We love to engage and celebrate with you. We're celebrating with you the goals or the difficulties, you know. So that just creates, you know, a great vibe between all of us, you know, and they know, you know. And when I ask something, hey, I have need here, maybe I need some more funds for evangelism, they know what we are doing. And they are more willing to help because they know. So that to me has been the steps, you know. I share the vision, I share the plans that we have, and I report, you know, and I also try to create a good environment between the conference and the church, the board, and I always speak positive about the conference, you know. I never speak negative with the members about any person in the conference, you know. That is very important, you know, because some members look at the conference weird and different. You know, I just create this positive, how they are supporting us, how they are helping us, how they are giving us fund for evangelism. So create just a positive vibe, you know. And you know, and each time that we have an administrator in our church, I tell my board and tell people, you know what, just thank these administrators for what they're doing for us, you know. So
walk me through, you know, not everything is positive, however.
Sure.
And sometimes some churches may feel alienated from the conference. Sometimes it's because of distance. Sometimes it's because of support. And sometimes it's because something that happened even before you walked in there. What do we do if our church feels alienated and the conference doesn't want to respond to that alienation or to give resources to that church? What is the pastor, the leader's responsibility in that case?
You know, in my personal experience, I never went through something like that. I can have an idea or imagine something if I went through something like that. What I will, first of all and foremost, I will try is really try to connect with the conference myself, you know, try to understand the history of the situation and what happened before, what is the reason why there is this distance and how we can merge better. So I will definitely try to figure out that with administration, you know, and find ways to connect also the church. You know, I will not just go away. No, I will just try to understand if there is some problems before, because we are all humans, but I will definitely try to investigate a little bit. and find ways to merge, find ways to work together, because, you know, the leaders, the conference is there for us. They are a support system for the church. That is why they are there for. They are there to support the local church too. So, you know, they help us in any need that we have or what they can do. So I will definitely create that communication and open that doors for communication to be met. You know, I probably will also maybe try to invite them and come and speak or for Sabbath morning or some special event. You know, I will try definitely to try to connect in some area.
Hope you're enjoying our discussion. We'll be right back after this ad break. One last question before we finalize and give you maybe like a final challenge that you can give us to the leaders that are listening to this podcast. Tell me a little bit more about, in your experience, just reflecting, you know, communicating the decisions that are within the church board to the church. That's something, sometimes it feels like a very secretive process that it's just like, oh, you know, the church board is this like ethereal, this weird thing that happens every so often and they make decisions about the church. Why is it so important that the church board reports? We talked about reporting to from you to the conference, but what about within? How transparent should we be about finances, about different things in our churches?
That is a great question. You know, definitely some people have no clue what the church is doing. They just come on Sabbath morning and that's it. Some people worry and they create these theories that are not true, you know, this imagination. One of the things that I've been doing lately is, number one, even before I arrived to this particular church, they have an open policy board. In other words, any member can show up and attend the board meeting, unless it's some private meeting that, you know, is very specific and we go in on, we call a business section. But you know, is open board, so the people know. Sometimes we have members just showing up to see what we do, how we do, you know. We want them to have that experience. Secondly, we report quarterly to the church, you know, seeing what we are going. We have a bulletin that we also report some things. Financials are there every week, where we are going, how much we are receiving. The treasurer reports quarterly where we are, the expenses and everything. So we actually have an open door with the vision, where we go, the plans, the things where we are going, you know. So even Sabbath to Sabbath, I just keep saying what we are doing. We just have a board. It was a good time. You know, this is some direction that we are going, you know, we decide that this is a good way to go. And usually I have 2-3 business sections kind of through the year to kind of let the people know where we are going, what we are doing. And it's being well, you know, the people, you know, it takes a while to trust, you know. I've been in this district for 2 years and I feel that there's a great vibe and a good trust between the board, the church, a great communication, you know. I also empower my board members to share with the church, you know, to as they talk, to be positive, to share how things are going, to share challenge too, but to share. And they are the voice of the board too. So it's true that maybe occasionally we want to be, because of strategy, you know. Jesus says, I have a lot to tell you, but it's not time yet. You know, sometimes boards need to work also with this strategy. It's a strategy. Maybe we will be quiet in this point or not release yet, you know. That is strategy, you know, but that is small. But overall, I think, you know, that communication is important. And to me, it's been working pretty good.
Thank you, Fernando, for your thoughts on leadership and, you know, communication specifically, reporting not only to the administration, but also reporting to the church. What's your final challenge? Something that you want leaders to take home and say, you know what, let's continue and do this to make the churches in our area and the Adventist churches a better place for people.
Oh, definitely. Just before I give the last words, thank you so much for having me. I enjoy all this session and also this podcast. I hope that this can be a blessing for those that listen. I will just say this, you know, I think what our church needs the most is just two things. We need to understand that God has the plan. We just need to hear the plan. Moses heard the plan to take the people out and then just work the plan. And the plan will be worked through a team. Jesus came down for 3.5 years and he formed a team. That team launched the primitive church or the first church. Jesus focused on these 12 men. He spent time with the 12 men. He showcased these 12 men. One episode in the Bible, everybody left. When Jesus says, now you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they were, no, what is the guy talking about? And everybody is leaving and say, what, you guys want to go? No, where do we go? You just stay with the 12. So as leaders, our job is, number one, receive the plans from God. Listen to God. God has plans specifically for His church. Secondly, find a team, empower a team, motivate them, help them to engage ministry, and that will just keep proliferating. I think this is the number one need.
You've been listening to Disruptive Adventism. We hope that today's topic helped you to think and change something about your practices, about your faith, about your Adventism. If you want to subscribe, make sure to go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll be there. And make sure to give us a review if you like what you're listening to. If you want to support, make sure to go to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. It helps us pay our bills and produce the content that you're listening to. And if you want to socialize, make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram or on Twitter, and hit us up whenever you need anything. We'll be there to support you. Thank you for listening today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.